everybody. God is good all the time. Well, this is a big day. First day for our little change in the class arrangement here for the little fellows. I know there have been some people who have been waiting for this for a long time and waited so long that now their kids are too old to benefit from that anyway, but I think it's kind of nice that we're able to do that. I want to start by reading from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants, came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I've made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. And you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the last chapter of history has finally been written, and the Lord brings us all to final judgment, the only commendation that any of us will want to hear is the one that's recorded here in verses 21 and 23 of our scripture reading today. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little or in little. I will now set you over much. Enter into the joy of my Father. There'll be no commendation for brilliance or education or intelligence or being spiritual or good intentions. No commendations for any of those things. The commendation is well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in little. I'll now set you over much. Do you know what a good and faithful servant is? We know what a servant is. A servant is someone who does someone who has a master and does the will of the master. And a servant of Jesus Christ is someone who does the will of Jesus Christ, serves him. In our parable here, there are 3 servants who are called by the master. And 2 of those servants prove to be faithful, and 1 of them ends up being called wicked and slothful, and in the last verse, called worthless. And so there are many servants of Jesus Christ today, and not all of them are good and faithful. I mean, you can kind of gather that as you read the parable. But that is the commendation that we all long to hear from the Lord on that day. What is the difference between good and faithful servant and a wicked and slothful servant? I want to know what a faithful servant is, because at the end of life, those are the words that I want to hear from Jesus. And so there's 5 things about these faithful servants I just want to point out to you, 5 aspects of being a faithful servant. The first one is, as you look at these servants, I think you could say they were steadfast in their service to the master. That was one of the things you could say about these men. They were steadfast in their service to the master. If I said these three words, beehive and steamboat and grand, and asked you what they were, would you know? Beehive, steamboat, and grand. They all have something in common. They're all names of a natural geological feature, and they're all found in Yellowstone Park. I'm probably giving it away by now. Those are three different geysers in Yellowstone Park. If I had added just one more name to that list of three, you would have known immediately what they were. If I had said Old Faithful, you would have known just very quickly, because Old Faithful is the most famous geyser in the world. What's amazing to me, though, and this is just something to think about here at this moment, Steamboat and Beehive and Grand are bigger and more impressive than Old Faithful. I mean, what they do when they do it is just incredible and amazing, and much bigger than what happens with Old Faithful. They're bigger, but they're unpredictable. There's no steadfastness. You never know when they're going to go off. But for the past 100 years, the National Park Service has been able to sell tickets to go see Old Faithful, because about every 65 minutes, Old Faithful will shoot up a geyser about 165 feet in the air, a column of steam about 165 feet in the air for 2 to 5 minutes, and then it dies down, and that group goes away, and the next group can come in. It's so regular that the National Park Service is able to sell tickets to this. But as for Grand and Steamboat and Beehive, they are incredible sights to see if you happen to be there when they blow off. But they're unpredictable. You just can't predict when the show is going to come. And the difference between Old Faithful and those other three geysers that I'm talking about, I think would be one of the basic differences between being faithful and unfaithful to Christ. Faithful Christians are like Old Faithful. You can depend on them. They're going to be there every time, all the time, just kind of like clockwork. They may not be all that spectacular, but you can count on them. They're steadfast. And unlike the unfaithful are more like Beehive and Grand and Steamboat. Every now and then there'll be a big eruption and it'll be spectacular and amazing. You say, I didn't know they could do that. I didn't know that that was with them. But it could be a long time before it ever happens again. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, he says, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It says again in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, and this is about the first 3,000 Christians on the face of the earth. It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. What were they steadfast in? They were steadfast. There were certain things you could just count on them doing and being involved in. They continued steadfastly in these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful, steadfast, always there, true to what they're supposed to be doing. I want you to try to imagine for a little while what it would be like to here at the Sunshine Church with nothing but, I'll say, beehive servants. We can't function without faithful servants. We could never function with only beehive type servants. Even the simplest things are not going to get done if you do not have faithful people. I think about what happens here just every Sunday morning. I mean, we see all these guys lined up here, but you need to understand how much effort goes into actually getting and knowing and getting this all organized so that the people we need to just serve communion are in place and know what they're doing. And the fellow who's going to read the scripture is going to read the scripture, and the fellow that's going to lead the prayer is ready to lead the prayer, knows that he's been called on. Gets kind of embarrassing sometimes, when someone, you know what's coming next, but there's no one to do it. And every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, someone comes and unlocks the doors and hopefully locks them back when we leave and turns on the lights and turns them off. And someone has to come and get the communion ready and fill up those little cups and get it all ready. I mean, we ran out of communion a couple Sunday nights ago. I don't know if you were here when that happened. But man, it'd be embarrassing to pick up that tray and find out there was no juice in the cups. Kind of a wrench in our plan, wouldn't it? And every Sunday morning or every Saturday night, someone has to put together our bulletin. And every Sunday morning, someone comes and folds the bulletin and puts it all together. And someone cuts our grass when it needs to be cut, and there are people who get their classes together and are ready for the kiddos when they show up. And it just goes on and on and on. There are just a lot of things that have to be done on a regular basis. And it takes faithful people to get that kind of stuff done. Our Master is calling us to be faithful. He wants us to be faithful in what we do. Faithful in our marriages, faithful in our work. He wants to be faithful in our attendance. He wants us to be faithful in our giving. He wants us to be faithful in our ministries, whatever it is that we choose for our ministry, whatever God has called us to. Faithful in our study of the Word, faithful in our prayers. He wants us to be faithful in every aspect of our lives, that just day in and day out, we know who we are, we know what we're doing, and we get about it and we do it. It may not be all that spectacular, but the job gets done. And the first aspect of being a faithful Christian that I want to point out to you is that we're steadfast. We're predictable. We're always there. You can count on us. There's a second thing about these servants here, these faithful servants, that I want to point out to you. And that is they persevered in their service to the Master. These two servants were called faithful because they persevered in their service. They didn't know when their Master was returning. And if you look at verse 19 here, it says, "Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them." The Master calls them there in those early verses, 15, 16, 17, 18, right there. Gives them all they're going to do. And then he goes off and says he stayed away for a long time. He came back after a long time. That was plenty of time for them to grow lax and careless and maybe forget about, we'll take care of that later on. We'll do this later on. It kind of happens over time, doesn't it? But when he came back, he found those servants doing exactly what they should be doing. They had persevered in their service. They were faithful. The life of a Christian is not a sprint. It's a marathon. There's a verse in the Bible that compares the life of a Christian to a race. It's Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, where it says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." It compares it to a race, and it's not a sprint. It's an endurance race, a race where you have to find your pace. I remember several years ago just watching a little junior high track meet up here at Medford. And, of course, junior high, that was probably the first experience that a lot of these kids had with running and being in a running track. And there was some little fellow there who was going to run the mile. And he didn't know what he was doing because when the gun went off, he took off and he was running like it was like a sprint, and he was way out there ahead of everybody else for about the first half lap, and then all of a sudden he ran out of gas, and by the end he actually had to drop out. The others held back. They understood, this is a long race. I have to pace myself for this race, and so they found the pace. And someone who wasn't in front at the beginning is the one who actually ran the race. Well, the point is, we can't sprint all the way as Christians. We have to find our pace. There is a time to sprint. There are times you just got to do everything you can right now as fast as you can. But you can't go all the way like that. You have to find your pace and run the race. We won't be able to finish if we don't find our pace. We have to be able to persevere. The Master is calling his servants to faithfulness, to persevere, to finish the work. It's not just about starting the race. It's about finishing the race. And we're not done until he comes back, and we don't know when he's coming back. It could be tomorrow. It could be 1,000 years from now. But to be faithful means to persevere in our service, to finish the race. And then there's a third thing I notice about these faithful servants. They proved themselves trustworthy. They proved themselves trustworthy. If you notice in verse 14, 25:14, it starts off, they're referred to as servants. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property." There's a certain level of trust that this master has in these servants, or he wouldn't have given them his property in the first place. But when he comes back and he begins to talk to his servants and he settles accounts with them, as it says, "His master said to him," this is to the five-talent fellow who had made five more, well done, good and faithful servant. They start off as servants, but when the master comes back, he observes that they're now faithful servants. Faithful servants. They had proven themselves trustworthy by actually serving. They had passed the test, so to speak. They had gained the trust of the master. They had gained in the trust which the master had in them. He said, "You've been faithful in little, I'll now set you over much." The master thought differently about them now. Trust is something you earn, even with God. And I'm reminded of a story, it's kind of a family story. Some of you will remember Paul Stevens. When Paul Stevens was just a young man, this goes all the way back into the 50s, a young man in college at Abilene Christian University. He had to find himself a job. So he got himself a job at a gas station. And this is back in the day when, you know, people went out and they pumped gas and they did other things besides just sell you candy bars and sell you gas. But he got a job at a gas station. And one of the things this gas station did was they would wash cars and clean them out and kind of detail them and everything. And that was Paul's job. And the first week that Paul was there, he found a $5 bill under the seat of the car. Now, $5 bill now, maybe no big deal. But a $5 bill back in 1950, that meant something. That was a huge thing. Paul found a $5 bill under the seat of the car that he was cleaning out. And he pulled it out from under and he brought it over to the station manager and gave it to him. He says, "Hey, I think this fellow must have lost some money here or something. I'm going to give it to you right now." And what Paul found out when he brought that $5 bill back to the station manager was the manager had put it there to see what Paul would do with it. And the manager found out who Paul was that day. He'd passed the test. He'd proven himself trustworthy. And Paul was given more responsibility because of that. Well, these talents that we're looking at here by the master were a test. And the master wanted to see who would pass the test. Two of them did, and one of them didn't. But to be faithful means to prove ourselves trustworthy in what we do. There's a fourth aspect of being a faithful servant, and that is to grow in maturity and responsibility. There's a growth that happens. And so the master said to that servant, he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in little. Now I think you're ready for much." Something happened to two of these servants over time. Do you see that? "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in little. I will now set you over much." They were ready to handle little at the beginning of this parable, but the master said, "You're able to handle much at this point." Something's happened to these servants. They've grown. In chapter 25, and verse 15, it says, "He gave to each of them according to their ability." And then in 25:21, it's obviously these servants had grown. "You've been faithful in little. I'll now set you over much." One of the big signs of being faithful as a servant of Christ is that there's growth. There's change over time. We become more able to do what the Lord wants us to do and more ready. And it's a great thing to watch people grow in the Lord, to see them start off as babes in Christ and to begin to grow. I've seen a lot of people grow in this congregation. It's not just up and physically and all that, but also grow into Christian men and Christian women. It's been a great experience to see that. But we start off as babes in Christ and we begin to grow. That's what babies do. And we take on more and more responsibility. We faithfully serve. And as we serve, we become ready for more and able to do more. And God is calling us to grow. He's expecting us to grow in Him. And so that five-talent person hopefully grows someday to be a ten-talent person. And the two-talent fellow someday grows to be a four-talent person. And the one-talent person someday grows to be a two-talent person or whatever. We grow in our ability. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forevermore. Amen." There it is, the command to grow. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed. There's a transformation that God is expecting. a transformation that he commands. And so these two servants who grew were called faithful. The servant who did nothing was called wicked and slothful. And when it's all over, we just want to hear one thing from the master. We want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And then we come to number five here. Faithful, that is, we're willing to accept bigger responsibility. That's what it means to be faithful. To be willing to accept bigger responsibility when it's offered. The five talent and the two talent servants could have become unfaithful at this point. I don't believe they did. When the master returned, he called them faithful for what they'd done. And then he immediately turns around and he hands them bigger responsibility. He puts them in charge of even more. And some people might not think of that as a reward. Well, my goodness, I wish I'd not got started on this track. But it was the master's way of saying, you know, I have more confidence in you. I believe in you. I trust you. And it was up to those servants then to accept that bigger responsibility. He called them faithful for what they'd done, and then he immediately hands them a new and bigger challenge. "You've been faithful in little, I'll now set you over much." Now, it isn't made clear in the parable how the five and the two talent fellows responded to this. I'm just kind of assuming that they said yes, and I'm pretty sure they did. But when the master said, "You've been faithful in little, now get ready for much," they could have become unfaithful at that point. Unfaithful in the sense they would not be willing to accept what the master was offering them in responsibility. They've been faithful up to this point, and now they were saying no to the new challenge that the master was laying before them. Faithful servants of Christ are not in the habit of saying no to the master. When the master lays a new challenge in front of a faithful servant of Christ, they say, "Yes, I don't know if I can do it, but I'm going to give it a try. I'm trusting you to help me do it." Do you know anybody who has served faithful, maybe through a large part of their life? They have been faithful as a Christian. And then they come to this point where they just kind of plateau, where it seems like they're not going to go any further. They're not going to accept any more responsibility. They're not going to try to do any more for the Lord. Or maybe even they kind of retire or quit or start fading from the scene, so to speak. Well, the Lord has more in mind for them than that. They're able to do the work, but they're not willing to accept the new responsibility, the new challenge that the Lord is laying before them. The Lord has the ability to see all of our potential, even when we can't. That's the one thing about the Lord. When the Lord lays something in front of us, he's basically saying, "You're able. I judge you. I believe that you're able," when he lays that challenge in front of us. And he's able to see. He knows. And the Lord takes great delight in turning a shepherd into a national leader, which is what he did with Moses. And the Lord takes great delight in turning a fisherman into an apostle of Christ, which he did with James and John, Peter and Andrew. And the Lord takes great delight in turning a little Jewish orphan girl into a queen of a world empire, which is what he did with Esther. And when the Lord challenges you with things that you've never done before, our job, if we're going to be faithful, is to say yes and just be faithful. Now, faithful servants sometimes have trouble with this. They have trouble overcoming fear in order to do what the master is calling them to do, because some of the stuff that God asks us to do is not stuff we're used to and stuff we've probably told ourselves at some point in the past, "I'll never do that." Never say never. Not with the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." In order to be a faithful servant of Christ, you'll find yourself stepping out of your comfort zone. Sometimes you're stretching. Sometimes you're risking failure. Sometimes you're risking embarrassment. It's not always easy to stand for Christ in every situation. Be so much more convenient sometimes if we weren't Christians, if we just didn't have to maintain that standard wherever we were. But sometimes we do have to speak up, and sometimes we have to stand up, and sometimes we just have to stretch ourselves to do what is right and to do what needs to be done and to do what God is calling us to do in order to be faithful, because in the end, That's what we want to hear from the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will now set you over much. Enter into the joy of your Lord. There's all kinds of aspects of being a faithful servant of Christ. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at about maybe four or five areas. I just want to talk about being faithful to the Lord, what that means in practical terms, because it goes off in just all kinds of areas of our lives. And I just want to talk about being faithful. Some people, because that's the commendation I want to hear in the end from Jesus. Well done, good and faithful servant. Maybe there's someone here this morning that's not a child of God. We're going to sing our hymn of invitation, and the invitation is for you, to give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel of Christ, to respond in faith, repentance, to be ready to confess that faith, to be ready to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And before you leave the building here this morning, you can be a child of God, and that would be a great thing to happen here today. And maybe there's a Christian that needs to respond also. Regardless of what your situation is, we're going to stand and sing this hymn of invitation. If you need to respond, we ask you please to come to the